Picture a generation of young men navigating sexuality with no roadmap, learning everything from the worst possible teachers. When the hashtag MeToo movement swept across America, parents of daughters felt vindicated. Finally, the culture was addressing sexual misconduct. But parents of sons faced a more unsettling realization. They'd been raising boys in a vacuum, assuming silence would somehow produce good men. The result? Young men cobbling together their understanding of sex, relationships, and masculinity from porn, locker room talk, and hookup culture's unwritten rules. Through conversations with over 100 young men aged 16 to 22, a troubling pattern emerges. Boys desperately want guidance, but rarely receive it from the adults in their lives. Even Barack Obama recognized the urgency, adding this exploration to his 2020 summer reading list. What these young men reveal isn't just about sex. It's about an entire generation caught between outdated masculine ideals and new expectations, trying to figure out who they're supposed to become. Despite gender progress, young men still define masculinity through emotional stoicism, dominance, athleticism, wealth, and sexual conquest. Nearly 60% cite their fathers as primary enforcers. Cole, headed to military academy, captures this perfectly. Though proud of his feminist girlfriend, he confesses his terror of male friendship. "I could talk to girls platonically, but being around guys was different, because I needed to be a bro, and I didn't know how to do that." When he joined crew team, he stayed silent during senior teammates' misogynistic locker room talk to preserve his social currency. This emotional restriction creates profound isolation. Boys describe building psychological walls to hide vulnerability. Though born with equal emotional capacity, they learn to suppress everything except anger, mastering disconnection by kindergarten. The consequences ripple outward. Boys quit beloved sports because bro culture demands proving toughness through misogyny and homophobia. Words like pussy and bitch become common insults, while fag polices any emotional display. Sexual conquest becomes another pillar, with boys using violent language, destroyed, slammed, to assert power, not discuss pleasure. Male bonding often occurs through shared misogyny, leaving even well-intentioned young men increasingly desensitized. Today's young men are the first generation with unlimited access to explicit online content from their earliest developmental stages. Since major adult content platforms launched in the mid-2000s, these materials have shaped young people's understanding of intimacy before their first real relationship experiences, with leading sites now reaching 100 million daily visitors. Most boys encounter adult content between ages 9 to 13, often unintentionally, before reaching physical maturity. Many form their initial understanding of intimacy entirely through these digital sources. One adolescent's peer who could rely solely on imagination was considered exceptional among his social group. Mason's experience illustrates this developmental pattern. With parents who never discussed relationships or intimacy, he began searching for adult magazines online in seventh grade. His curiosity progressed to increasingly intense material, eventually consuming an hour daily, viewing content everywhere from his bedroom to school facilities. Despite never having experienced a romantic relationship, these materials distorted his expectations about real-world interactions and relationships. While some young men eventually reject explicit media as objectifying, many believe it doesn't influence their attitudes, though decades of research demonstrates otherwise. Studies reveal that consumption of adult content correlates with reduced support for gender equality, earlier intimate activity, more partners, higher pregnancy rates, more accepting views of coercive behavior, and increased engagement in higher risk activities. Most concerning is how such content normalizes physically aggressive acts during intimacy, including striking, restricting breathing, and forceful contact, which young men often don't recognize as potentially harmful behaviors. At college parties, young men claim their peers are respectful and value communication, though they admit this rarely happens in practice. Two contradictory narratives exist. Students are either virtually celibate or constantly bedhopping. The truth lies between. Students have less vaginal intercourse than 25 years ago, though oral and anal sex have increased. About three quarters hook up at least once by senior year, averaging 7 to 8 partners total, roughly one per semester. The real shift is hookup culture, the expectation that casual sex precedes emotional intimacy. Most students see hooking up as a path to relationships, though few hookups lead there. This leaves 85% feeling ambivalent. Alcohol creates compulsory carelessness. Students deliberately get drunk to establish indifference. Hooking up sober signals seriousness. This requires being wasted enough to want to do it, but sober enough to consent. Hookup culture advantages boys by aligning with conventional masculinity, conquest over connection. This creates an orgasm gap. Only 29 to 53% of women climax in hookups versus 56 to 81% of men. Wyatt, a handsome junior and rare straight male dance major, benefits from golden dick syndrome, overwhelming female attention. Despite leading consent workshops, he's had countless hookups, explicitly stating he wants only casual sex and floating away when partners show emotional interest. He realizes he's become a feminist fuckboy, someone who says all the right things but still treats women badly. Eventually falling in love, he discovers the difference. Having sex with someone you love, with this person who's happy that it's me, Wyatt, her boyfriend, not just some body, that's amazing. Zane's sexual self-discovery begins when he unexpectedly kisses another boy at a party freshman year. Initially identifying as bisexual, by spring he realizes he's only attracted to men, a significant break from his Baptist upbringing where he learned to pray away the gay. For transgender men like Devin, the path involves additional complexities. During eating disorder treatment, he had an epiphany, noticing his man genes, realizing his body discomfort wasn't about weight, but gender. Hormone therapy and top surgery brought tremendous relief. Both navigate dating apps with growing self-awareness. After a man physically restrained him and ignored his boundaries, Zane deleted the apps, traumatized. Months later, he experienced his healthiest sex in 10 months through Grindr, marked by conversation, gradual intimacy, and mutual attentiveness. This led him to question hookup culture. Demanding more intimacy actually feels subversive. Devin's journey transformed when he met Mia, who made him feel truly desired as a man. Devin believes all men would benefit from questioning gender. I am required to answer, what does it mean to be transgender? But what does it really mean to be straight? What does it mean to be cis? Xavier and Emmett, two African-American freshmen at a large Midwestern university, regularly face skepticism about their right to be on campus. Before Xavier started at an exclusive private school on full scholarship, his mother showed him the Rodney King beating video saying, "I'm not showing you this to scare you, but to show you what you're about to walk into." He witnessed two boys of color expelled for sexual misconduct with white girls while questioning whether white boys would receive the same harsh punishments. This created constant anxiety. It feels like you always have to be on edge and watch yourself because you never know who you can trust, and at any moment, your life could be taken away. The modern consent debate intensified in 2011 when the Obama administration reminded universities of their Title IX responsibilities, following studies showing 23.1% of female college students experienced sexual assault. By 2014, California mandated affirmative consent, requiring affirmative, conscious, and voluntary agreement at each intimate stage. Yet, troubling gaps persist. While most college men could define affirmative consent and claimed to practice it, only 13% actually discussed intentions during hookups. When confronted, they typically expanded their consent definition rather than questioning their behavior. Liam, 18, used hookups for social status. With 51 encounters, he treated girls as numbers to brag about. Despite claiming to be communicative and compassionate, he pushed boundaries, like forcing girls' heads down during oral sex. He recounts having sex with a camp acquaintance who never said yes, now recognizing he took advantage of her. Samir's story shows transformation is possible. At a fraternity party, he coerced a woman named Anwin into oral sex despite her stating, "I don't want to have sex with you." After violence prevention training, he recognized his assault. Through restorative justice, which seeks to repair harm collaboratively, they prepared to meet over a semester. Reading her writings devastated him. I saw that what I had thought was an awkward hookup where I was trying to be kind of a teacher was for her an account of fear and discomfort and violation and just pain. Together, they developed a plan. Samir would share his story publicly and educate other men, working to see himself as a person who has done bad things, not just as a bad person. Restorative justice helps, but prevention matters more. Only 24 states mandate sex education, with just 10 requiring medical accuracy. Parents need ongoing conversations about intimacy, not one awkward talk. Discussions should evolve with age, covering biology, consent, and what it means to be a caring partner. Consent makes sex legal, but doesn't make it ethical or good. Ethical sex considers everyone's well-being. Good sex requires understanding bodies and responses. Young people also need guidance on emotional intimacy, building relationships, managing conflict, handling breakups. Parents must challenge male socialization that promotes entitlement and emotional suppression. The man box offers rewards, but ultimately traps boys, sabotaging authenticity and promoting isolation. Male conditioning numbs boys emotionally. By adulthood, most men struggle to identify their own emotions. Discuss porn with sons. Explain how it distorts sexuality. Performers fake enjoyment, bodies and behaviors aren't typical, content often eroticizes inequality. All male groups can foster aggression. Fraternity members are 3 times more likely to commit sexual assault. Coaches must establish zero tolerance for degrading talk. Their discussions about respect significantly reduce dating violence among high school athletes. The path forward expands what masculinity means, raising young men who understand that strength includes vulnerability, respect beats conquest, and real connection trumps empty hookups.